Welcome to the Flat Racing Guru. It's June the 16th and we're Royal Ascot. It's Thursday. I don't think we had much luck Wednesday, did we? We got the 2-year-old. I said if he put a gun to my head, Dramatize would win. It won, but it just went downhill from there, didn't it? We didn't have much luck. Actually, you know, it seems to be of a bit of a bias as well. You know, just be drawn, if you're drawn high, but not really high against the rail, but just off that rail, like 5 or 10 horses off that rail on the far rail. So you're talking, say, if there was 30 runners, you'd be like drawn 22 or something. There seems to be a fast bit of that, you know, a fast bit of... All the horses coming up that area seem to be taken off. That's what I've noticed. So I wonder if there's a hard bit of strip of ground up that end. You know? And actually, I fancied that dark thing. You know, that Charlie Hills' horse. You know, and it's too late to pull it out. I really started fancying it just like 10 minutes before the race. But obviously I'd tipped something else for that race. I think I did put it in the exotics. We had a, you know, each way that Bashikova. What a terrible race that ran! How the heck did that run? I couldn't believe that Bashikova. Lord North, there's another one. What left in the stalls? Honestly. It just gets worse, doesn't it? What the heck's going on? And the Japanese horse ran an absolute stinker. It's just following on from that first race. Now if you look at Blackbeard won, Dramatized won, and Blackbeard has franked the form for my horse on Tuesday, my 2-year-old on Tuesday, which was Blackbeard, sorry, and yes. What won I got both 2-year-old races, didn't I? That was our only saving grace on Thursday, on Wednesday. Sorry, we got Dramatized in the Queen Mary, and then Little Big Bear. Yes, Little Big Bear in the Windsor Castle. I tipped both of them. Now Little Big Bear was like 4-1 yesterday, and it got backed into 6-5, but. On my top of my ratings, I had Little Big Bear about on 100 and just, well, a fair bit behind Blackbeard. Now, Blackbeard was beating off that Archie Watson's horse on Tuesday. Right, where's that Archie Watson's horse came from? It's done absolutely nothing on its debut. It's like improved like £30 to win that Royal Ascot. I'm just not having that. I always had him down as a suspicious on them 2-year-olds. I had him down like the first couple of seasons. I think, I'm not going to say the word, but you know what I'm talking about. They've been idly diddly in that horse and give it an extra boost before Royal Ascot. And it's been sold to loads of Bahrainian owners. You know what I mean? So it's like got the pressure to win that race. But that horse will not run as a 3-year-old. I can guarantee you that horse will not run the 3-year-old, and you'll know why, because it'll be absolutely knackered, and its heart will be like two sizes too big. It'll probably end up as horse meat, you know, when they do that to them. So I just think there's a couple of horses I fear. And they're all coming down from these stables that I've got profiled that get up to this sort of nonsense. And it's the same trainers all the time. But I'm telling you, that Blackbeard is a good horse. I can't believe it got beat. I've got him as a 1-3-1 Group 1 horse with Noble Style. And I'm telling you what it is. I bet I'm proved right. Maybe he was had it. Also, maybe had it just a little bit of an off day, but Blackbeard, he's better than the one that won today, easily. Little Brown Bear, Blackbeard is way better than him. So just watch out for that. But you know, it just leaves a bit of a sour taste. And I know, because some of these horses that are winning, they're not winning because of they're good horses. Well, they are good horses, but they're not winning, you know, because they're brilliant. I think some of them's had a little bit extra something. And it happens every year at Ascot, the pressure of winning, you see. It's all about pressure, and it depends on who's the owner, you know. If they're coming into your stable and they've got millions of pounds to buy horses, you're going to make sure your horse wins, aren't you? And I can tell you now that stuff does improve a horse like 10, 15 lengths. So, you know what I mean? I can well believe it. Sometimes they do it and they still get beat because the horse that's beat it is so good, you know. They're really top class horses, but that's how these top class horses that are clean get beat. You know, they get beat by these other ones that are, they're not playing the rules. And obviously there's just no testing. The BHA is an absolute joke. We've got, if you want to do that and get away with it, now is the time, because there's absolutely no oversight. There's no control. Our BHA, our horse racing bodies, I mean, they do that. When they do go after people, they go after the wrong people. That's not doing anything. I think it's just a safe face. And then the people that are doing it are just paying them off because they've got the money, they've got the cash behind them. And they're just getting paid off. It's absolutely, it's total corruption what's going on. It stinks to the high heaven. And it's happening everywhere now. Americans are, well, obviously there's been a few trainers in America caught doing it. And they're all facing jail terms, some of them. Because the Americans, they catch you, they string you up, and they're not frightened to tell you. Now, the difference between the American media and our media is the American racing media, they speak up and say, look, you're a dog. But our media, they're all hunky-dory and all nudge-nudge, wink-wink, tell me more so I can make some money. What a bunch of leeches, aren't they? The same faces on. I turn it on that ITV today, it's the same faces, the same people for years and years are still doing it, still talking shite, absolute shite. No one, they're confusing the punter, telling that every horse has got a chance. I mean, I can't believe, you know, that in those competitions, those ITV7s are all rigged. If you think people can pick six winners, 20 to ones and all this, and all these tote scoop six bets, it's rigged to the high heavens, man. Honestly, if you think that people actually can pick all these winners at all these duck prices, you're off your trolley, right? It's all, if it does get one, it's like agents mate that's put the bet on, and the agents has got to know all the horses that are fancied that day from being an agent, because the trainers phone them up and say, my horse is ready, I want this jockey on. You know, it's coming from them circles, that the people that do win these bets. It's not coming from the public, I'm telling you now, because it's impossible to pick horses like that. And all them you don't know that. So there's three or four horses ready to win. They've got a little booster, and you're one person sitting picking, and you know all that, because half of them ain't got the form to win. And you just can't stick a pin in that many times and get it correct. It's impossible. So when you see the people win, it's either rigged, right, or they've been in the know, that they're connected to the agent, something like that. And that's the way it goes. You won't get no, I mean, I'm a friendly guy, but I tell you what, all the years I've been in this game, right, they've done absolutely shit all for me, these people. In fact, they blocked me from getting on the TV and putting tips out. They blocked me. One of these guys that's on there blocked me. They were going to put me on the telly, and one of those guys blocked me because he didn't like my face. Also, I'm not going to say any more about it, because just have a bit banter. We may as well just have a bit banter and forget about the racing. I'll go for a drink or something. I see there's Judge Jules and Pete Tong on at Newcastle. I've just had a look at the tickets for the Friday and Saturday. Now I tried to get the tickets 2 weeks ago for the restaurant, and I wanted £300, but I've had a phone to them up today, and they only want £120 today a person for the restaurant. But they've got these new pod things. The pods are £2,400. £2,400 for these pod things. I had a look up on online what the hell's these pods. £2,400 to sit in a pod with a little picket fence and a glass of. I mean, they say, oh, we'll give you a bottle of champagne. What? Where'd they get the champagne from? A Chateau 1922, worth £2,000 or something. What sort of carry on is that? Who's going to pay for a pod for £2,000 to watch a race on Tapita? You know what I mean? It's not even on the turf now. The tune, you know what I mean? So anyway, they've got these pods and they're £2,500 to sit in and watch a race. And can you imagine coming back and not picking a winner, and you'll, after sitting and paying £2,500 for these pods and having a bit of champagne, you'll be absolutely devastated if you lose. You'll have nothing to show for it. You'll be coming back and thinking, oh, I could have got a holiday to Indonesia, to Bali for that price. Wouldn't you? Anyway, let's have a look at these races tomorrow. Anyway, oh, I was going to say, it said Judge Jules anyway. So it's nearly the plate and the Cumberland, the big Cumberland races in Carlisle. I've got me tickets for both, but I see I've got the I just got the restaurant tickets. I've got restaurant tickets for 3 hours for the Newcastle play day, and I'm going the night before as well, on the Friday night, just to pop in because it's got Judge Jules on, and then they've got Pete Tong on the Saturday after the race, and so we'll be rocking all night. I'll probably be drunk and just want to go home. Anyway. Right, oh, here we go, Thursday. Norfolk Stakes, right. Now this is, I've got a horse here, number 10, Wall Bank. Now that got beat off Noble Style. Now Noble Style, I've got him right on top, 131. He's a good horse, him. He's only had the one run. For Charlie Appleby, I've got him 1-3-1. I've just pedigree and the way he won, and all I've looked at all the other horses from that race, and it's winners galore, and it's boosted the ratings up, but he had so much in him. I'm thinking he's got another £15 there, you know, £3 equal a length up to a mile. So you know, I put him on 1-3-1. So if he says he carries, if he carries 9.5 in a race, you add 9 onto that 131, so his RPR will be 140 for that race. If he's carrying 9, his RPR will be 145, because you add 14 to the 131, and that's how you get the ceiling, you know. You bring everything up to 10 when it's on the flat, and if you're doing jumps, it's 12, you bring everything up to 12. So if they're carrying 10.8, you bring it up to 12, so that's 20, you add 20 on to its actual rating. So if its rating's 100, you add 20 on, so its RPR will be 120, and that's how you can handicap them. But then if you look at the draw and see where's a little bit of a draw bias, or you look at the pace of the race, and he's got a good finish in that, see, it doesn't, sometimes the rating doesn't matter. You've got to look at the, will it be conditioned for today? Will this pace suit the horse? How will they ride it? What's the other horses in the race? How will it affect this one's run? You see what I mean? You've got to think about all them little quandaries. So just because it could be top rated. I mean, when I first started doing this, like the handicap, and learned how to handicap 35 years ago, I just used to pick the best rated horse, you know? But it's not, it used to get a good strike rate, but you don't get a brilliant strike rate. Now, if you go through every race and look at the race and the speed, the pace factor is massive. If you look at the pace factor, another thing is massive is the trainer. If he's in some sort of form, or if he can condition a horse to go to go well, or you know, find horses that are hitting that peak, stuff like that. So some will be hitting peak and some will have just hit peak and won last time out, but they'll be on the downgrade. Some trainers put them in the field after a run, so they come back out and not fit. So you get caught out, you see, you get think it's going to run up its last race. It's not, because it's never done any work at home, because the trainer has got it lined up for another race, you know, things like that. So anyway, this wall bank, if my ratings are right about this noble style, then wall bank will win. I've got Pillow Talk now, even though Yasad got beat today, I think Pillow Talk ran a totally different type of race. He comes into the race as a strong horse. So I think Pillow Talk will put it up the wall bank. I think Pillow Talk was a really good horse. Just forget about what Yasad did today. Forget about it. This is a totally different type of horse, this Pillow Talk. He is good. And Thundermoor, I thought, I like this trainer, and I think that's a good horse. So take them too. Now the tips are up on james-wiley.com, and just go to the Royal Ascot. I'll put them on the front page as well, the main page. So Thursday's tips are up there. Anything else? The Hampton Court Stakes I've got is right 9-1 Savvy Knight for 5 places each way. 3.40 Royal Ascot Life of Dreams each way. I'm trying to think if I've got anything decent to say about any of these horses. Oh yes, I have. Now the Gold Cup. Now we've got the big race with the Gold Cup horse. I'll tell you about this other race first. It's at 5 o'clock Britannia, and this Harrow is a big price. Now that Harrow looked a really good horse, and suddenly he's just running terrible. But I thought this Harrow last season he's going to be great, and then when he's running like a little handicapper this year, and I'm thinking what's going on. But I think he might have been set up for this race to get the weight off his back. Because I think he's got a brilliant pedigree. If you have a look at his pedigree, it's absolutely fantastic. And I just can't believe that's his run in the last few races. Because I've just been in shock at how bad he's been running. That can't be him. So anyway, he's in this Britannia Stakes at a massive price. And Bolden's training him. And this could just be a Bolden specialist, like this Harrow, because I think he is a good horse. You just can't lose skill like that, man. It's got to be a target, and he's been targeted and took out of training or something like that, and they haven't been training him properly, or they've like let off his training schedule targeted him for this race for a while. So that means, you know, he's just been going through the motions, getting the handicap down. But this Harrow, I think he is a good horse. He could easily win this race off this rating now, today, tomorrow. And I also like that number 6, who put 50 in you. I marked him down last week for this race as well. And I've got King of Time. I just thought that he had a decent pedigree. excuse me. So just have a little bet on that Harrow. Right, we're on about the Gold Cup Stratovarius. Now, Stratovarius, he run a real good race. He's a great horse, brilliant horse. But I'll just going to leave him out tomorrow. If you want to back him, back him. Right, but I think Kyprios will win the race. Kyprios, I think he's a really good horse. I'm impressed by him. I like his physique as well. But I put one up for 66-1. If you have a look on the website. Number 2, East of the Cotswolds. Now, if you look at his racing, he's just underrated. Now, on his rating, they've got in the racing post, he could even get each way on that rating. But it's impossible he can be that only rated. He beat Coltrane, what I tipped the other day, by 5 lengths, standing on his head, right, on the flat. Now, if you look at the ratings on Coltrane now, 109... And you add 5 lengths, because he beat Coltrane 5 lengths, and he was giving him weight as well. If you add 5 to that, 109, that's 114, and then you add his weight, what he's carrying, he's got a winning chance on it, on the actual rating from that Coltrane line of form. Go on, have a look. Go and have a look at Coltrane, and then see what Coltrane's done since then, and then see how this horse beat Coltrane, East of the Cotswolds, and he's 66-1. I'm telling you now, this Nigel Twiston didn't. He's got another horse exactly like it on the flat, runs on the flat, and he was. I couldn't believe the way it ran. It ran brilliant. Ran at Kempton and won at Kempton. I can't remember the name of the horse, but it was a flat runner, and he beat all the top flat horses. I thought, wow, I'm just thinking this Twiston Davis knows how to train these horses to win flat races. Because just going off that other horse, and now I had a look at this East of the Cotswold running, and he beat that Coltrane easy, man. Honestly. So anyway, I just thought it might be decent each way, you know, or without favourites or each way extra. But I do think Kyprios will win the race, and I've got Kyprios as a save, obviously. But that, you know, I've got East of the Cotswold, the pound each way at 66-1. Don't tell anyone about it, just keep it to ourselves, because you know, we don't know what's going on with these lot. We could bring them out to make them non-runners, all this sort of thing. Now, in the King George, obviously, Reach for the Moon. I tipped Reach for the Moon last year, and that was another crappy race bomb. The Tory last year at Royal Ascot, I tipped Reach for the Moon. I said, this, the pedigree is fantastic. If you have a look at the pedigree, it's an absolutely fantastic pedigree. I thought this is going to be a Group 1 horse, going to win everything. Another disappointing. He went off far too fast, the Tory last year on Reach for the Moon. Obviously, it's won races since then. It won easy next time out, but it should have won that day at Royal Ascot last year. The Tory just went flying off in front, and he had nothing left, and he got beat off. I mean, that beat off O'Brien horse, and that O'Brien horse was whipping it and booting it just to get the win, so they almost had that money down on it. And he just beat Reach for the Moon, but Frankie just went off far too fast. I haven't been impressed at all this week with Frankie's riding, mind. And I've got Claymore or King Maxi, which is a big price to get second. So do 2-4, Reach for the Moon, Claymore, because I do like that Claymore for get his last run. And Reach for the Moon to King Max, just in case Claymore messes it up again. King Max is a big price, and I like that trainer. I think he can get them. I think he can, you can condition his horses really well for the day, for the big day, and they run a bit over what they're rated. Let's have a look at the last race, Bottom Palace Stakes. Oh, I've got 5 or 6 in that race, because it's a big race, and I've put in a few. Tamwani and Bapok above Uzo. I think Uzo is top rated. I've done Uzo, they had 1-6, 1-7, so he was top rated. On the form, Ross Collins, Nazi Jazzy, but as I say, it's a draw on the flat track, mind. And the favourite's drawn 1, so that rules him out for me. Like, he can't win on this track, on the straight track, drawn 1. So that's a favourite out of it. So I've just put 7 of these at big prices, and you can have a little bit on them all, couldn't you? Just a bit of fun interest. So that's it for today. And we'll be back on Friday or Saturday. Might just write the tips down tomorrow night. Or I might, what is it? I might do another podcast. It's quite tiring, you know, because I have been ill for a long time. And it's quite tiring doing this Royal Ascot. It takes a lot of energy out of us, but I am getting better, you know. I've been getting better every week, sort of thing. Since I had COVID on both my lungs, I had pneumonia on my lungs, and I was pretty ill. I was in hospital for a while. But I am getting a bit better. But sometimes I feel tired when I do a lot. Right. I'll see you tomorrow then. And good luck.